Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. And if you've missed any of my shows, you can always go back and listen to the archives. Well, today we have an exciting guest, Christian Hall, a director and producer who started out in South Florida before making his way to L.A. And I had the chance to work with Chris way back in 2005 and was struck by his professionalism at such a young age. So I'm looking forward to speaking with him now. I think he's here. Let me take a look here. Chris, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hi. Now, do you go by Chris or Christian now?
Christian, mostly, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, long time no talk.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to dive right in. First of all, I guess the first thing we want to talk about is what inspired you in the first place to be a filmmaker at such a young age?
Sure. I think I always knew I wanted to work in film when I was very, very young. I remember going to Blockbuster with my parents and being able to pick out any of the movies in like a certain section and having sort of that choice and picking a movie and going home and watching it. It was just an experience that I always was drawn to. And even before I knew what making a film was all about, I knew I always wanted to be a part of it somehow. And so, you know, very early on, I watched films like Star Wars, and I fell in love with that universe, and I knew that it was something that I wanted to create for other people as well.
And you started out here in South Florida. What type of projects? You were just doing indies primarily here in Florida, right?
Yeah, indie films. I went to high school, and my high school was actually pretty progressive high school in the sense that they had a lot of sort of film equipment, and they had like a really small film program, and so I was able to get a little bit of exposure there. And then I sort of branched out, and I worked on a bunch of independent projects in the area, and then I worked on a couple of bigger films that sort of traveled through the Miami area. I was able to be an assistant. I worked in the camera department. I worked in casting. I sort of jumped around all over the place just to try to get as much experience as I could, and it was really valuable. So.
Yeah. And then when you went to L.A., was it a culture shock? Was there a lot of difference that you found between Florida and L.A., and what is that difference for people that are thinking about moving out there?
Sure. I think I always expected to move out to L.A. It was always a big dream of mine to go to L.A. and to work, you know, in the most professional environment for entertainment possible. And so I was kind of readying myself for that, but at the same time, it is very different. The culture, not just social culture, but the film culture is very different there as well. And and there's just a lot more people that are doing the same thing that, you know, you are, the people trying to get into film, into acting. It's such a huge amount of people, and that's actually a blessing because, you know, you connect with people out here in L.A. that are very good at what they do, are very specialized at what they do. And in Florida, it's a little harder to find, but what's great about South Florida is that it's a much smaller group of people. So it's if you sort of get in that sort of South Florida film crew world, it's pretty easy to navigate. And I wish there was more work in the South Florida, Miami area, but it's growing and more films are going down there. So, and leaving LA because of all the tax benefits and so forth. So.
Yeah. What do you think was your biggest challenge when you went out there, and how did you overcome that?
I think the biggest challenge was really when I moved out here, was like, what's the next step to take? How do you, I want to produce movies, I want to make movies, how do I get there? How do I do that? And so it's really there's no linear path to it. As many people will say, there's no one way to get to the door that, you know, that you'll enter, and that will be sort of success here in L.A. But I think that, you know, I got to USC, and I met a lot of people at USC who were very creatively driven, like me, in different ways. And I think finding people that you can relate to and that you can make movies with, and just starting to do that is really important. And then there's also a lot of opportunities on the if you want to, you know, become an assistant and go through, you know, the agency or go through the studio, there's opportunities that allow for you to kind of work the corporate ladder and maybe make an impact that way. And then also for writers and directors, you know, it's all about you know, getting your material out there and just somehow being able to find those connections that allow you to do that. I think it's interesting because really it's all about having a great script if you're making a movie. And so everyone's kind of intimidated by the fact that, oh, I need an agent, I need a publicist, I need somebody to get my material out there. But the truth of the matter is that if you have a great script, somebody will read it, love it, and find you. And there's kind of a saying, like, you can drive down the 405 freeway and throw your script out the window, and if it's a great script, someone's going to call you in like 10 minutes and want to sign you and get it. But it's hard to find great material. It just really is. And so, you know, you just really got to work well with the people that that you're connected with to try to get that great material.
Now, you seem to focus less on writing and directing, more on producing lately, right?
Yes.
There's been a lot of production.
I have. Yeah, a lot of producing. It's something that it comes pretty easy for me, and I like getting involved with really great directors. And I have great relationships with directors, and so I really enjoy that part of the process because I kind of see things in a very organizational sense of what needs to happen to get the movie made. And and that's very fulfilling when to actually sort of go through the steps and actually do it. And it really gives me a broad approach to the project. And there's something about what I really like doing is getting involved in a lot of different aspects of not just production, but editing, but, you know, planning screenings and, you know, organizing events. And that's something that I really like to put my hands on a lot of different areas of production, and producing allows you to really do that.
And since you were at USC, what was the difference between working on the films there versus a regular indie film?
I think at USC, it's a very specific culture at USC. I think there's a lot of talent at USC, and there's a lot of unfocused talent at USC, and so there's definitely a difference. But with independent films, it's obviously all sort of about money, and there's a certain structure to it, but with USC, it's like you've got these very creative, you know, directors who are sort of given free reign over what to do, and for a film school, that's kind of a special case, and so you've got a big polarization in the quality of movies. There's a couple great movies, and then a couple kind of not so good movies, but it really show sort of the cream rises to the top, and if you get connected with some great directors, you know they're going to walk out of USC and they're going to do something really amazing. So having that pool of talent there to kind of draw from has been different than working in the indie world. I was lucky enough to help produce a film called Felipe's Sandwich, directed by James Hamlin, and that was a very indie project, but because he had so many connections in the film world, he was able to. We were able to draw a really great crew together, and we made a great movie. But it was very different, but it's still filmmaking. So.
And you went to a lot of film festivals with that movie. You seemed like you did very well. It seems like I actually watched the trailer, and it looks like a great movie, really, really well done. And have you had other projects that have also gone to festivals like that?
Yeah, we're working on a couple movies right now. We're just finishing them up, and our next step is to do the whole festival push. That's a film called Josephine the Roach, which is partly animated, part live action film directed by John Lonegan, and it's his USC graduate thesis film, and it's an amazing film. It really sort of bends perception of genre, and also I helped produce a film, Eric Howell's Of Sand and Sea. It was a drama about a family who's trying to reconnect, and both of those films were kind of readying for going into film festivals.
Okay, and how did you find that process with going to film festivals and promoting and all of that stuff? How did you work on that?
All right, it's a difficult process. It's one that it's difficult because there are so many other films that you're not competing with, but you're showcasing with, and it's really finding the right market for your movie. I think that's really the key, is that, you know, film festivals are pretty broad. It's like you get put into a category and you screen in front of an audience, but it's sometimes that's not the right audience for your movie. And, you know, thanks to this whole online movement, you know, we can now find channels on Vimeo or YouTube and specifically put the movie in the right places, and we're working on putting Felipe's Sandwich on Netflix and possibly on iTunes, and we're trying to figure out how to best market it. So the biggest challenge at film festivals is not just getting people to see your movie, but getting the right people to see your movie.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that is the most difficult part of being a producer, or what would you say is the most difficult?
I mean, I'd say that getting a great product made, getting a great film made, that's the most important thing. I think once you have a great film, it's like the rest of that is just legwork to get it seen. And I think that I think that's the end goal for me is always quality of the product. And so I'm always focused on that.
And you've also worked as crew on a lot of bigger projects. Tell us a little bit about that experience and some of the projects that you've worked on, some of the mainstream projects.
Sure. Yeah, I worked on a film, Jerry Bruckheimer film called Confessions of a Shopaholic down in Miami mm-hmm. when it came down for a few weeks, and I worked on that, and that was a very great experience. I never worked on such a big movie before, and it really kind of opened my eyes as to what a big production, kind of how it works. And mm-hmm. and when I was younger, a few years ago, I definitely sort of fell in love with that style of how a movie is run. It's very organized. It's very mm-hmm. professional, and there's problems. There's problems in every category of budget, but I liked how sort of there was a rank system, and people did their job, mm-hmm. and it was very. I just connected with it, and it was much more sort of my style versus the guerrilla kind of, shoot and go kind of style. But so when I came to USC, I definitely tried to adopt some of those things. And a lot of people, surprisingly, don't have, haven't been able to work on those bigger projects. So it was a lot of fun for me.
So would you prefer doing the mainstream then over indie?
Well, I think right now my goal is to get my content out there to as many people as possible. And, because I don't have the big budget, I can't do mainstream yet, but eventually I'd like for my content to be mainstream. I'd like to get, it out there to as many people as possible, but I do have a strong connection with the indie world. And so I'm not making that leap yet.
Now, you've gotten into software creation, which I find really interesting, and especially this new project that you have that's a motion capture prototype. So maybe you can explain what that is, and you're promoting it. I'm trying to get a sense of it. You're promoting it through a film and a game, and I wanted to kind of get a big picture of what it is and how you plan to get it out there and what it will help people do.
Sure. I mean, this is a project that really – kind of sums up everything that I've done, and it's something that's truly in my heart that I want to get out. And we're building motion capture, and we're building motion capture for the masses. We're trying to make motion capture a consumer level technology. And mm-hmm. what that means is that right now motion capture is very expensive. It's really only accessible to big studios. It costs upwards of $100 a second to produce motion capture on a virtual stage, and it's really not there for filmmakers or creators to play with because it's just too expensive. And so, mm-hmm. but what we found is that we realized that that the hardware, the actual devices that capture motion capture, are not that expensive. What's expensive is this whole workflow, and it's requiring all these technicians to work, and that's expensive. And so we wanted to sort of turn that around on its head. And do motion capture in a really affordable and fun way. And so mm-hmm. what we're doing is we're using the Microsoft Kinect, which is an accessory for the Xbox. It's a gesture sensor. And mm-hmm. we're plugging that into computers, and we've created software for it that tracks motion in a room. So you can walk in front of a space with multiple Kinects, if you have them, and with multiple people, and be able to record motion. And so we think, this has been tested and tried. It's a very new technology. What we found is that people that are doing this and trying to put this out there, it's too specialized. It's not easy enough to use. People can't, pick this up, download it online and really know how to use it. It's too inaccessible. And so what we're doing is we're building this, and we're making it a lot simpler for people to use and understand. And so we're trying to democratize this technology, really. And we think that we're making a game and a film using this new software that we're building. And our film is completely animated. It's CG using our motion capture. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that working on our project, one of our supervisors, is an old ILM director. And so he worked on big movies, Pirates of the Caribbean and Hereafter and The Avengers. And so, yeah, so he's advising us on sort of how you know, the workflow and how to do this. But, you know, we're trying to make two really great products, both a game and a movie, to kind of showcase how this motion capture can be used in a number of different ways. And so we'll be presenting the whole setup at TED at USC, and also there's a demo day at USC as well. We'll be there with a big installation, and you know, people can walk up in this space, in this motion capture space, and instantly become another character. So they can become an astronaut, or they can become Spider-Man, or they can become Darth Vader, whoever they want to become, they can instantly transform into that. And we think there's something really special about that, and being able to see that in real time. And so that's really what we're going for.
And I noticed that you use Kickstarter to kind of kickstart this project. And you've already beat your goal, it looks like, and you still have, what, 3 days to go?
Yeah, we do. We needed to raise a little bit more money on for the film and pay for some of the expenses, sort of visual effects process of what we're doing. And, yeah, we've had a tremendous response on Kickstarter. If you search Cosmic Fling, that's the name of our movie on Kickstarter, we've put together kind of a little summary and video of what we're about and what we're trying to do. And we're really excited to like continue that process of making the movie. It looks great so far, and we're really looking forward to showing it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other games or software? I know you've done some other things. Any others that you want to mention?
Yeah, I also produced a couple of iPhone games over the past year and a half or so, and it was definitely new territory for me. I've been lucky to have some great connections, some great programmers and designers for games, and I was drawn by it, and I always saw these games that they were creating, but they just weren't out there for the public to use. And I was like, oh, we got to make an iPhone game. We got to make a game that people can download and play. It's fun, and so we sort of got together, and we created an iPhone game called Finger Trap, and then we followed that up with Chroma, which is an abstract 2D space game. You're shooting. You're on a moon, and you're shooting these balls away from you, and it's pretty visceral. And we've had some success with it, and we're really happy with being able to connect with people on that level. And it's definitely new territory for me, but I get excited by that kind of thing, and something that's new and challenging that I don't really know the market for yet. That's something that I always like jumping into, and motion capture specifically as well, because I never used motion capture before, but as soon as I realized the potential of this technology, it was something that I knew people wanted to use. People want to use it. I talked to people, filmmakers, storytellers, are like, you know, the cost of production is so expensive now. Even with digital, you've got to move around locations, and you need lights, and you need permits, and you need setups. Well, how about you make a movie in your living room, and you can create any world you want using the software, and it can be inexpensive, and you never need to shoot something more than once. Like, that was the big appeal for me, because you have a great take of something, but you got to pull in for a close-up, and you need a master, and you need you need to get your coverage. But with this technology, you shoot it once, you have a virtual camera, you literally move the camera wherever you want. It's storytelling, and it allows the director to literally take over the process and put his vision on the screen. And it's not traditional animation. It's actual human performance. So we connect to human performance, and I think that it's definitely something that's going to replace traditional animation, just because as great of an animator as somebody is, they can't ever sort of capture that human essence of movement and of this organic motion. And we think motion capture is going to do that. So.
Okay. And you've worked with a lot of partners, including Mindfruit Studios. It's a collective. How does that work?
Sure. Mindfruit is a group that I continue to work with and have worked for the past few years. It's a collective, and it's started by Damon Stay and Cassandra Chowdhury, and they have a very small production studio, and they create all kinds of different content and media. We did a few a few Doritos commercials for competitions, and we've done architecture documentaries for an architecture studio, and it's just and they've done some amazing stop motion animation, and they we basically get together on different projects, and they sort of direct, okay, we're going to work on this project next. And it's all, it's a group of people who sort of come together and work on these, you know, very different projects. But mm-hmm. always very interesting, very visual and story oriented. And it always blows me away. The final products that Mind Group puts out are just truly incredible. And so I'm always excited to work with them. And it's always a really fun process.
Why don't you give everybody your website so that they can kind of keep up with you and everything that you're doing?
Sure. My website's christianhallmedia.com, and it covers basically, we're going to put a lot of information about our motion capture software on it, and some more updates about our film. We're going to be screening our film a number of places, our Cosmic Fling film, which is our motion capture film, and a number of other things that we're going to put on there, too. So.
Any other quickly, anything else that's coming up that we should know about before we go?
Sure. So I'm working on a couple of other films. I did mention Eric Howell's Of Sand and Sea and Jonathan Loniger's Josephine and the Roach film. We're getting ready to screen that, and so we're going to post information about that as well. They're two really fantastic films out of USC, two truly amazing directors. And every time I get a chance, I always want to tell people about them because they're very talented, and I think their work should be seen.
And you also have an IMDb page as well, don't you?
I do, yeah. I have an IMDb if you search Christian Hall. Some of my background, some of my career, I've worked a couple of different capacities from sort of TV work. I did some assistant work. I did some continuity work. I've kind of jumped around a lot of different places, but that's kind of how I like to be. I never like to stay in one position too long. I think producing is in and of itself, it's that you've got to solve these problems in all these different departments, and it requires a knowledge of a lot of different, especially when you're budgeting a film, you've got to know intimately how much things are going to cost and how much you're going to need of something, and you got to know how that thing works in order to know how you're going to need it. And so it's definitely a lot of fun for me to kind of be able to jump around from different departments and work with really talented people. I mean, that's for me, it's about getting the most talented people in the room and figuring out and brainstorming through great ideas and sort of making that happen. My job is to make that happen. So.
Okay, great. Well, we've covered a lot today. As you get the Cosmic Fling going, hopefully I can bring you back on and we can talk more once that gets going and you've debuted it and everything else. So hopefully I can
Absolutely.
Bring you back. Okay?
I look forward to it.
Well, thanks, Christian, and I hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, so that was our chat with Christian Hall. As you can see, he has a wide range of experience. He's done a lot of projects. He really didn't go in depth as to all the things that he's crewed, but in addition to Confessions of a Shopaholic, he worked on Miami Vice, he worked on Marley and Me, and a whole bunch of other things. And as he said, you can go to his IMDb page and you can find out all the different things he's done. And as you know, on IMDb, a lot of times it doesn't show all of your credits. Usually it doesn't. It only shows ones that meet a certain specification or certain requirements in order to be able to be on IMDb. For example, my page doesn't have like half of my credits because they have to meet a certain level of expectation to be on IMDb. So keep that in mind, but it gives you a sense of some of the things that he has done. And he also gave you his website, which you can go back. Like I said, this is going to be archived, so you can always go back and re-listen to this. And any information that you missed, you can go back and listen to it and check out his website as well. I think this motion capture project is really exciting. And what inspires me about Christian is he's so young. He's graduating USC in May, but he has such a body of knowledge ever since he was, very young. Like I said, I worked with him back in 2005, and I was blown away with how professional he was even then. And you can hear in his demeanor what a professional he is. So it's a pleasure to talk to someone like that knows what they're doing. And can project it and create these great things like this motion capture, I think that's going to be a benefit to everybody. So definitely keep your eye out for that, because I think that will be a big project and hopefully all goes well with that. Okay, also, I'm going to have a lot of great guests coming up, so you definitely want to stay tuned here to blogtalkradio.com/IndieStreak, because I will be announcing my upcoming projects. As you know, the show is every Sunday at 1 o'clock, but I'm probably going to have bonus shows possibly like at 1:30, maybe at other times as well, because there's a lot of big filmmakers that are going to be coming to town for the Palm Beach International Film Festival, and I'm going to have a chance to interview a lot of them. Also, I have, coming up next week, I'm going to tell you right now, Anthony Espina. Composer Anthony Espina is supposed to be up next week, and the following week I have manager Marty Marrero, who's also a director. We're going to be talking about his project. But in addition to those two shows coming up, I also have a ton of other filmmakers that I'm going to be interviewing. So you definitely want to keep an eye out for that. In addition, March 31st, Bill Griffay is having a great seminar about filmmaking in Sunrise. If you want to get the information, go back and listen to the show. I interviewed him last week here on my show. You can go back and listen to the show. It gives you all the details. And at the very end, I reiterate the address. So you can kind of go to the end. If you miss anything that he says in the interview, you can hear it at the end again about the seminar on March 31st, because I think that will be very interesting for people that are in the film industry that are taking it to the next level or thinking about promotions and other things that he might have some insight to help you with. So the Palm Beach International Film Festival is coming up, Bill Griffay's workshop. Also, Palm Beach filmmakers, always keep an eye on their website because they have a lot of projects coming up constantly. They have a great movie coming up, Caught in the Middle, that Talina Adamo is doing that was written by kids. And that should be really interesting, and as that develops, I probably will be telling you more about that. But also, they have a lot of workshops that are educational. They have a lot of meetups that are a networking opportunity with people, and you can go to Palm Beach Filmmakers, just Google that, and you can find out everything that they're doing. Also, always check out my website, which is www.independentstreak.com, because I will be posting more and more information over the next month or so, because the Palm Beach International Film Festival is coming up. I'm going to have a ton of reviews, a ton of information coming up about events, stuff that probably is not going to be anywhere else. So you want to take a look at that. March 23rd, a movie called Matchmaker just came out, and I wrote a review about that film. It's an Israeli film. It's Hebrew, it's in Hebrew, and it has English subtitles. So you can go on my website and find out about that film, which is now out in select theaters. Tonight I'm interviewing Susan Seidelman, so I'm going to see if maybe she might be able to come on the show, but I will be writing about her film, Musical Chairs. Probably that'll be up here in the next couple days on my site as well. So a lot of great stuff, guys. The show is growing and growing, and I would really appreciate it if you tell your friends about the show, send them the link. You know, the show is all about educating people and kind of all coming together, because that's what it's all about. Everybody has to work together in this world, and I think it's really important. So that's why I do the show. But thank you for listening in, and like I said, I will be back Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Next Sunday, check it out. I will be interviewing Anthony Espina, the composer, who's done a lot of great work. And I will talk to you then. Thank you so much, guys. Bye-bye.